Our next speaker is Joe Dukarm. He's a mechanical engineer with NIOSH. Joe graduated from the University of Pittsburgh in 1982 with a Bachelor of Science in Mechanical Engineering. He began his career as a mechanical engineer at Longwall Technique Incorporated of Washington, Pennsylvania. Joe participated in all aspects of this work, from meeting with customers to discuss their needs through design, fabrication, machining, quality control, and installation. In 1986, Joe became employed by Dravo Wellman in Pittsburgh as a mechanical engineer. He was responsible for the design and selection of mechanical components for large material handling equipment. Equipment he designed included bucket wheel stacker reclaimer machines, ladder type barge unloaders, railway hopper car, rotary dumpers, and conveyor systems. He also participated in design work on clamshell bucket and innovative continuous ship unloaders. He joined the Bureau of Mines in June 1989 as mechanical engineer in the Machine Safety Group at the Pittsburgh Research Center. Joe is currently employed as a mechanical engineer in the Electrical and Mechanical Systems Safety Branch at the Office of Mine Safety and Health Research Laboratory. His 24 years of federal service has been dedicated to conducting mining research related to proximity detection for continuous mining machines, an intelligent lockout tagout for stationary machinery, and a variety of investigations and analysis related to machine safety. He has conducted in-house research, technically directed research contracts, and collaborated on research projects with universities, mining companies, international partners, mining equipment manufacturers, and other government agencies. He has authored and co-authored 20 research publications and has been invited to present his research results in the U.S. and abroad. Joe?
Thank you, Dave. Let's see now. Okay, we're in session three. And this one. I hit just, this one. Okay. Can everybody hear me back there? Good morning. I'm from the Office of Mine Safety and Health Research, and I'm just here today to tell you a little bit about some of the research we've been doing in the proximity detection area. NIOSH is the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. OMSHER is the Office of Mine Safety and Health, and we are the federal agency that conducts the mining research into health and safety issues. We develop recommendations and for the prevention of work related injury and illness. OMSHER is part of NIOSH. Let's see, where's my next one here? We are divided into two divisions, the Division of Mining Research Operation, Division of Mining Science and Technology. The Division of Mining Research Operations is divided into six branches that focus on specific areas. I'm from the Electrical and Mechanical Systems Safety Branch. Our current research activities include the development of intelligent proximity detection technology for continuous mining machines. We're also looking at developing intelligent lockout and tagout hardware and procedures. We have some researchers that are investigating the lithium-ion battery safety issues, and part of my branch is also involved in doing investigations into mine communications and tracking under the Miner Act. MSHA's accident statistics show that about two-thirds of the coal mining fatalities are caused by machinery and powered haulage. Struck by, against, caught in and under are the most common accident types. And because of the, you know, the weight and the power of all this equipment, usually a struck by or a caught under in between accident is usually a severe injury or a fatality. Since 1984, there have been 37 crushing and pinning fatalities involving continuous mining machines. The latest one occurred in February of this year. A miner was pinned between the tail of the continuous mining machine and the rib. You might wonder why, you know, if the machines move slowly, how does these accidents occur? Well, the pivoting rate is the problem. They can pivot in excess of 6 feet per minute at the head and the tail of the machine. And if you're caught in between the machine and the mine rib, you don't have much space to maneuver. Proximity detection systems, we think they're considered an engineering control solution to striking and pinning accidents. The systems that are currently MSHA approved are two-part systems that use electromagnetic technology. One part of these systems is always mounted on the continuous mining machine, and another part is considered a personal alarm device or a pad, and is carried on by the operator or other personnel working in the vicinity. Later this rule, as my understanding, MSHA is going to publish its final rule requiring proximity systems on all continuous mining machines except full face machines. OMSHA's been working on proximity detection systems and this technology since the late 1990s. Formal development started about 1998. NIOSH personnel was awarded a couple of patents on a system called the Hazardous Area and Signaling and Ranging Device, which we termed HAZARD, in 1999. This system, they did a lot of research on the operating frequencies of this system to eliminate interference, and one of the findings was that you've heard the term before by previous speakers, mid-range RF. They found around 73 kilohertz was an optimum frequency to, operate these systems at, because of to eliminate interference with the machine structures and other things. We have done some in-mine tests. There was some concerns that perhaps coal could cause some interference at these operating frequencies. Coal has zero effect on the fields in an underground coal mine. We also did, in the 2000 era, we did a number of research projects that looked at escapability. We used human subjects. We did the motion capture studies in a controlled environment and captured their motions. We then fed that human captured data into computer simulations, and we also conducted studies examining where operators wanted to position themselves relative to the CM while they were operating it, and what they felt they needed to see in order to effectively do their jobs. Currently, we are continuing to develop our intelligent proximity detection technology. And we are also adding posture identification and visual warning functions. I'll elaborate on that in some future slides. Our escapability studies, like I just mentioned, involved using continuous miner operators escaping in various directions from various postures. On a start signal, they were told that they were to have perceived a danger approaching them and were to escape in a specified direction. And these tests were conducted in a controlled environment. The motions were captured with motion capture systems quite similar to what is used in a special effects movie production and other scientific studies. The motion data we used in digital human modeling software, the results came out that if the operator was positioned further than 3 feet from the machine, the likelihood of him being able to escape was quite high. That was the most critical factor, and we believe that was used in the development of all the red zone literature and other regulations, rules and regulations you've been told about. Another research effort examined where and why operators wanted to stand relative to the CM. Operators work from a variety of postures and positions around the machine. If you remember, one of the previous presenters showed a slide that showed all the accidents that had occurred. And as you can see from the accidents, they occur all around the machine. The operators want to stand in various locations. They also need to see some very specific cues, or they want to see these in order to do their jobs effectively. In some interviews with miners, we have always heard certain things like they describe they like to stand next to the machine at certain times. They feel this provides protection from them from an oncoming shuttle car or scoop. Now, you've seen some of this, but let me just go over it again here, because you need to understand some basics about electromagnetic proximity detection. It simply is a magnetic field generated from a current that is induced in a wire that's wound around an iron or ferrite core, and the field strength varies as the pad moves away from the CM. The graphic shows a transmitter or magnetic field generator mounted on the tail conveyor of a CM, and the colors show how the field would decrease typically as you move away from the generator. Current systems have multiple generators to cover the entire continuous mining machine or haulage equipment. They use techniques to shape the fields and provide desired coverage. Early systems, they do not have the capability to determine the exact location of a person. They only know if they intrude into a zone or if they're out of a zone. And as described previously, there's a warning and a stop zone. If they approach the machine closer than the warning zone, usually these systems just cut all functions of the machine off. Now, these principles were, developed during the hazard system development in the late 1990s, and it's all the basis for all the available and approved, MSHA-approved underground commercial systems today. Typically, the generators are mounted on the continuous mining machine, and a small receiver or personal alarm device is carried by the worker. They can work the other way around, but that's not an optimal solution in our opinion, because of the power requirements that you would have to have on the person then to be able to generate the magnetic field. That brings me to what we're doing, and we call it intelligent proximity detection. We've developed technology that it doesn't disable all machine motions. It uses triangulation techniques from the various generators on the machine and makes decisions based on the operator position, and only disables machine functions that could perceive to be caused harm. Any other safe motion is allowed to continue uninterrupted. This allows the operators the freedom to stand where they want to stand. They can stand right next to the machine and still operate it. They can stand next to it and tram it away from them. They can swing the tail away from them. But any motions that would cause the machine to move towards them would be blocked. We think that's, operator frustration is going to be a key to success of these systems. You can't just put the stuff on it and hand it to them and say, here, have at it. they're going to find that they can't stand where they want to stand to operate the machine, and they're going to be upset with it. So we have this system installed on a Joy 14CM at our facility, and it uses commercially available proximity detection hardware. The only thing that's NIOSH developed is the technology and the software. Our machine is an older machine. Now, things could be done differently with the newer machines. You have a, what's that pointer? The operator has a remote control, provides input to a receiver on the machine. All we did on ours was to place a bank of relays in between the output of the receiver and all the actuator controls on the machine. The relays are controlled from an onboard controller that is receiving data from the proximity system. So with that in place, we can now individually control every function on the machine. We can stop the conveyor from swinging right, but allow it to swing left. And the same thing can be done with all the tram controls. Now you have to put some thought into this, because there's a lot of ways you can make the machine turn left, and if you don't want it to turn left, then you have to block those controls. This is done by, we modeled the magnetic fields. We took a lot of measurements in our facility and basically mapped all the fields around the machine and developed mathematical models for them. And with this, we can, using the multiple generators and triangulation techniques, the operator's position relative to the machine can be determined. The graphic here shows four generators, and there's four semicircular fields. The intersection of those fields is where the operator would be standing. Then we divided the area around the machine into various zones. Now this is not like the zones you've been described before. This is just done in software. So these zones are programmable, and they can also be dynamic. They can be changed on the fly depending upon conditions. But this is just an example of how you would divide the zones up. And then you can define hazardous and non-hazardous motions for each zone. So here's an example of how our system works in operation. We've got a little picture-in-picture video down here, and I've got an operator standing near the tail, and he's wearing a pad. The system has triangulated his position relatively closely to where he's standing, and it has blocked machine functions here shown in red. For instance, the conveyor is now prohibited from swinging towards him in right motion, and the tram functions are all disabled. Any tram function that would swing the tail or bumper of the machine towards him is disabled. Now, if he moved around to the other side of the machine, the system followed him and tracked his position as he did so. We have a video of this, but it usually doesn't play very well in presentations. It's a very large video, and it takes a long time to load, so I've only taken a couple frames out of it here to demonstrate what's going on. But here you can see now, since he's on the left side, the left conveyor is blocked, and the tram functions have changed so that no tram motion towards him would be permitted. Now, our current research includes testing of our system with experienced continuous mining machine operators in our facility. We're also working on combining our visual warning system with the intelligent proximity system and adding posture identification capability to this system. In our human subject tests, we take experienced miner operators and ask them to do a series of motions with the machine in our facility. One of our tests included having him tram the machine from position A to position B, then move it over to position C, and then back it out to position A again. He's permitted to stand anywhere in a test area he would like to stand while he does this. We can program our system so that, well, we can basically turn the system off so there's no proximity on the machine. In other words, you're just running a continuous miner without any safeties on it. We have a standard proximity system mode where if he stands in any zone, we shut down all functions. And we have our intelligent proximity system where it's a selective shutdown depending upon where he's standing. We did this in a timed fashion. We found the results here are really preliminary. We haven't completed this yet, but so far we found that intelligent proximity has a minimal effect on the time it takes for an operator to complete these tests. The standard proximity, we had some operators that they needed training. They really needed some training and getting used to it because they just wanted to stand too close to the machine and it wasn't clear to them why the machine wasn't following their commands. Obviously, with some experience of where they needed to stand, they probably would have reduced that time considerably. Our visual warning system was developed quite some time ago. It's a LED engine-based system. It has a very bright LED engine that can be placed in an XP enclosure. Then we have a MSHA approved fiber optic. It's about a half inch in diameter that comes out of that enclosure, and it needs minimally guarding. It's very tough. It can withstand quite a bit of abuse. And you can see the large red lights on the machine here. They're all lit in this photo. This system is designed to provide feedback to the operator. It commonly shows machine motion. For instance, if the machine's tramming away from the operator, there's a series of cascading lights back to front that shows it's tramming. If it starts to rotate in one direction or another, we change the function of the lights. One of the things we're doing with it when we apply it to our and integrate it into our intelligent proximity system is we're providing a visual feedback to the operator. If he's standing next to the tail and inadvertently or on purpose activates a tail swing function, the lights will flash at a very rapid rate, indicating that he's in a zone and that's why the machine won't follow his commands. The tram functions work in a similar fashion. Let me speak about posture ID here. Earlier in our research, we came to the conclusion that operator's posture could make a difference in how close a pad could approach the machine before being detected. The fields are somewhat oddly shaped, but they are spherical in nature. So if a person is standing and the pad's at waist height, it makes a difference if he's in a kneeling posture. And in lower seam heights, you can see that he's obviously kneeling. So if we can add posture ID to our system, we can add that as additional input into our controller and then program in additional intelligence. The thing is, how do you determine posture ID? Our preliminary steps have just been, we're doing motion capture again of test subjects and running them through a series of tests. We take the captured motion and put it into our digital human analysis software, and we can measure all sorts of things such as joint angles and inclinations of different body parts. The idea here is to get an idea of the various postures that the operators may use, and what types of joint angles we're looking at, what types of inclinations we're looking at between these postures to identify them. Then, we intend to try to find some unobtrusive ways of obtaining this information from an operator or other person in real time. There's lots of very small, unobtrusive sensors on the market that could be built into, say, a person's knee pads. If they're wearing knee pads, you could put pressure sensors in there, you could put angle sensors in there. They don't require much battery power. It's not going to be an additional burden of any kind. We're not looking for any kind of thing like that to put on the operator. Again, we have to, take him into consideration all the time. But if we can provide that information, the posture of that person, into the controller system, you can then program it to make additional and more intelligent decisions about what machine motions would be allowed and what machine motions would be blocked. you can also shape the fields that way. So, you know, just as a summary, you know, proximity systems can really prevent striking and pinning accidents that they should not be relied on to do so. It's another safety system, a training system, just like the seat belts or airbags in your car. NIOSH pioneered all of this technology in the late 1990s, and we developed the 3-foot recommendation. Our technology includes, you know, the mapping of the fields and the triangulation techniques, and we believe our future work is going to, you know, optimize this technology. This is a rapidly moving field. Things are developing quite rapidly. If you need any more information, we have a booth over here. It's just across the way. We do have a little model of our continuous miner with an intelligent proximity system and a warning, a visual warning system on it. If you'd like to see it demonstrated, I invite you to stop by. If you need any other information on any other NIOSH research, please stop by. We'll take care of you. That's all I have for today, and I'll take any questions now.
So what's the lowest seam height that you've observed this working efficiently in?
We have started looking at the actual systems that are MSHA approved. We've done some measurements on them. The ones we've done so far have just been in high coal. The results we've got, I really can't speak to them. I can just say that they've been very good. The systems that are out there are repeatable and they work well. We believe our technology will work in any seam height that a continuous mining machine is used in. So I don't think seam height is a problem. Our research has shown that coal has no effect. It's possible that some mesh may have some effect. We intend to take a look at that. Anything else? Okay, all right. Good.
Thanks a lot, Joe. That was very informative. It's interesting to see the history and the evolution of the proximity research that you guys have conducted up at NIOSH. Keep up the good work.